Welcome to Methuen Matters. This is Jessica Finicaro, today joined by Methuen resident Diana Cortez, mother of a courageous, sweet little girl named Layla, who is battling biliary atresia, a rare disorder that is often misdiagnosed and the warning signs. Diana shares her family's personal story to bring awareness, always getting a second opinion, and how you can help Layla get closer to her liver transplant now.
Hi, Diana. Thank you for being on Methuen Matters today.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you for having me.
I'm so thrilled that you could join us, and I'm excited to learn more about your story and how we can help. So tell me a little bit about yourself, about your family.
Sure. So I'm a mother of four, Methuen resident, and I have kids that range from the age of 24, 18, 3, and Layla's 1. And so when I married my husband a few years ago, I didn't think that I was going to have any more kids. I didn't want to have any more kids. But we decided, you know what, let's have more babies, because he didn't have any children.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I wanted him to have, you know, to have that experience. And so we had Aria. She's 3 years old now. Mm-hmm. And then we decided to have Layla. So the pregnancy was as normal as you could possibly imagine a pregnancy, you know, would be. Like, everything was, you know, everything was fine. Because I'm older, an older mom, they have to do a lot more testing and a lot more genetic testing and a lot more ultrasounds and things like that. And so everything seemed to be fine. The delivery was normal. Everything was perfect. But we noticed that she was a little bit on the yellow side. They call that jaundice, mm-hmm. Which is very typical for newborns. And so what they do sometimes is they put the babies under a light, and it's kind of like routine, or they say, oh, put the baby in the sun. It should be fine. It should go away on its own. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, we noticed that Layla's, you know, eyes were sort of like on the greener hue. Mm-hmm. And her skin was a little bit more on the yellowish side too. So I brought it up to the pediatrician, had my concerns. When you first have a baby, like the first few days, you have to bring them in to be seen at the pediatrician. And we did that. And they said that it was fine. I was breastfeeding at the time. And they were like, okay, breastfed babies take a little bit longer for this jaundice thing to kind of clear up. And you know, her liver numbers, everything was fine. Her bilirubin levels were fine at the hospital when I had her. So things were okay. I was like, oh, okay, fine. You know, I trust the medical community. And so we, you know, continued on. But she just seemed to always be crying a lot, always uncomfortable. I could never really get her to be just a calm baby. And we thought it was colic. So then we went the colic route, and I had to do an elimination diet so that maybe something in the milk that I was, something I was eating was passing through the breast milk, and that was maybe causing her some pain. And so,
and that's so common. So that makes sense.
It all makes sense. So I said, okay, well, we'll do that. And then there was another procedure that they did, which they do like a tongue tie, and they have to like kind of snip the tongue a little bit underneath the tongue to kind of release it, so they have a better latch. Mm-hmm. So they're not like suckling too much air in and causing people belly trouble. So we had that procedure done, and I'm thinking, I'm bringing her to all these providers, and they're all seeing her. She still has this, like, you know, like sort of greenish hue in the eyes, and still has like the yellowing of the skin, and you know. But eventually, it becomes, you know, your normal. So I'm thinking, this is like the normal thing for my baby. This is what, you know, what she looks like, and this is okay. So I thought. So at her first month appointment, I brought it up again to the pediatrician, and she reassured me that everything was fine. Again, this condition. It's called biliary atresia. It's very commonly misdiagnosed by providers, especially when the child is of color, because they can't really see the difference with the skin complexion. It's very commonly missed. And so when I brought her in for her now 2 month appointment at 8 weeks, now I brought in with me a stool sample, because her stool was pale. I've never seen anything like that. Now I have 3 other children, never seen anything like that. So I brought that stool sample, and that's when everything changed. And that was December 9th of 2021. I was sitting in that pediatrician's office with this stool, and that's when she uttered the words, I think your daughter may have biliary atresia. We need to run tests. And so, of course, they tell you not to Google things, but as a parent, immediately pulled out my phone, Googled what biliary atresia was, and my heart sank. I remember just thinking to myself, I'm going to lose my child. And so the condition, what it does is it's a condition that affects the bile ducts of the liver, so that bile that the body produces doesn't properly filter through the liver, so it sort of backs up and it causes cirrhosis of the liver, causing liver damage and ultimately liver failure. And so the prognosis isn't great for this condition. And so I remember just feeling just like absolutely devastated when I got the news. And all I kept seeing in the articles that I was reading is transplant, transplant, transplant. Now, no one in my family has ever had a transplant. I've always been an organ donor, but I've never really had to deal with that. I always knew that it was the right thing to do to, you know, register as an organ donor. Because if I'm dead, why would I need, you know, a certain amount of organs? Somebody else could use it, right? So I've always been an advocate for that, but not necessarily really understanding the complexity of organ donation and the need, like the actual need. I mean, and yeah, you know the need, but like just how devastating it is when you realize that this is the only chance you have for your child to live is to have an organ donation or an organ transplant. And so that to me just scared me so much. So at that moment, they ran labs on her. That same night, the pediatrician called me and said, you need to bring her to Mass General Hospital right now. This is an emergency. And so, of course, you know, not knowing what to expect, having the logistics of like, I have a toddler to take care of. My older sons are asking me questions. Mom, what's going on? Why are you crying? My husband not really understanding because my husband isn't tech. And so his mind isn't like, you know, in that realm. So he doesn't really like, he was just like, but what's going on? Like, I'm trying to explain it to him, but he's not really understanding like the sheer need. And he's trying to calm me down. And he's trying to, you know, help me with the logistical things of like getting her to Mass General and figuring out what I'm going to do with the toddler and things like that. And so what he's going to do with work and how he's going to tell his boss and all of these, you know, things that we were just really just freaking out in the moment. So we brought her to Mass General. We got her in really quickly. They did a procedure called the Kasai. So what the Kasai is just a procedure to buy us some time before transplant. It works only in 30% of the cases. So it's something that it's one of those things, it's like a Hail Mary. It's like, okay, let's just try to do this and see if it helps her. So what they do is, it's like a bypass surgery. They take the small intestine and they plug it directly into the liver so that the bile can actually drain that way. And so we did that procedure December 10th, literally the day after. And we were checking her numbers closely, her liver numbers, which is like bilirubin level numbers. That word is really, it's a tongue tie. Bilirubin level numbers. And so it looked like it was improving initially, but then it stopped working. And so again, we were like excited, like, yeah, this worked. And then it's like, oh, whoa, it didn't work. So then her eyes were getting even more yellow. Her liver numbers were elevating even more. So we knew that at this point we were going towards transplant. And that was going to be our only hope. And then she was listed for transplant. I can't remember the exact, I think it was like sometime in the spring. And at that point, of course, having a lot of like education when it comes to transplanting, especially pediatric transplant, you have to meet with a social worker. You have to meet with a team of individuals that every single team, every single member plays an intricate role in helping parents understand what it's like to have this transplant. And there, it's very strict. It's very rigorous. The testing is very rigorous. So, and there's no guarantees. You know, you're going to get on the list. But there's no guarantees that you're going to get a phone call saying, hey, we have this list, you know, this organ for you. And so that was my biggest fear. I'm like, what do I do? So in this moment, thankfully, she was stable enough to go home, to be home and not be in the hospital awaiting transplant. And so we're managing her disease at home. The issue with managing liver disease is that a child is in constant pain. They're always in pain. And so, and also they're not gaining weight because when the liver is messed up, you have what's called nutrition malabsorption. So now the way the fat metabolizes in the body, it's not really absorbing any fat. So she was extremely malnourished. And so we ended up having to put in NG tube through her nose so that we can feed her through a tube feeding machine. But that required having this machine go off every 3 hours. And so, and also on top of that, the medications that she's on, it's really rigorous. So I wasn't sleeping, not eating well, not taking care of myself, just doing the bare minimum at home to be able to, to take care of my toddler. I have a beloved dog that, we have as well that also needs care. My teenage son that was just graduating high school needed support and care. My adult son, who also is trying to navigate, adulting, needed support and care. So everyone in my family, needed me, but all I could do was take care of Layla. And so one day I reached out on Facebook and I said, I'm losing my mind. I said, I asked the social workers for help to get like a nurse to come to the house. There's no services out there for families like me. There's nothing. I said, financially, we went from a two-income household to one. I still have bills. I think my car's going to get repoed. I'm in dire need. I need help. I don't know what to do. I don't know how you guys can help me, but I feel like I'm losing my mind. I said, I know that I'm hallucinating because I haven't slept in days. She won't stop crying. This machine keeps going off. All I can hear is beep, 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 beep. Every time the machine goes off to do another feed and another feed and another feed. And I can't even get a nurse because in Massachusetts, unlike other states, for example, like California, I've connected with other families who are in this situation because the condition is rare. It's only 1 in 15,000. So we have like a small community on Facebook. And so there's a particular folks from California who are like, oh, we get paid like a stipend to take care of our child because there's no way we could do it, And then in other states, they have nurses to come out and help and do these things. But not in Massachusetts, we don't have that kind of support. So everything falls on the caretaker, at least until the child is 3 years old. So all of that, I remember having an appointment at Mass General at like 8:15 in the morning, and I hadn't slept. I hadn't slept in like forever, months. So sleep deprivation was taking a toll on me, and I just didn't know what to do. Okay, I have to keep this person alive, but I also have bills that I have to take care of. And if my car gets repossessed, how am I going to continue these appointments? And right. all of these things, play a role in that. And so that's what I was really dealing with. But when I put it on Facebook and was vulnerable and just put my story out there, I had an outpouring of support. Like I had friends coming over to take my dog for for walks and to play with my dog. I had folks coming to take my toddler for play dates. I had folks coming, helping me in any capacity that they could, meals or whatever. And that community approach really, really, gave me the strength to keep going. Because otherwise I don't think that I could have made it. My body was just breaking down and deteriorating. And so, then came, then my daughter Layla became a little bit more stable. And then so things were rocking, with the support of the community, with the support of my village, until this August 29th, she became violently ill. And I brought her into Mass General and they told us, this is it. She needs a liver transplant. This is the only way that we're going to make this better for her. So now it's a race for time. And so I said, I cannot wait for my daughter to be on her deathbed for me to take action. I have to do something. And so at Children's, they do this routinely. This is what they do. And they deal with a lot more of these cases because people from all over the world come to Boston's Children to deal with children that have biliary atresia, this rare liver disease. And so they have a lot more expertise and a lot more resources. So we actually transferred Layla from Mass General, believe was a couple weeks ago, and we brought her here to Boston's Children's, where now they're, they could do the living donor if that's the case. I can't even fathom the idea that my daughter needs to be so sick in order for her to get a liver, because that's the way it works with liver transplants. Like you have a certain score, so the sicker you are, the higher the score, and so the more priority you'll get. And so I can't even imagine seeing her, because seeing the way she looked when I brought her into Mass General, she ended up having like what you typically would see in a liver disease patient. the big, big belly with all the ascites, the fluid that builds up, skinny arms, skinny legs, just everything, just it's just heartbreaking to see that in an individual, let alone, you know, a baby. So I said, I can't keep my arms crossed and like, and just do nothing. So I took action and I said, okay, I need to put out there that my daughter's blood type, she could accept a liver from someone that is a blood type B or O. The positives or negatives doesn't matter when it comes to organ transplantation. So that's, So then, and when I put that out there, a lot of support, so much support. People are like, yes, I want to get tested to see whether or not I could be a donor. So that link should be, I should have that link by next week or so that people can go in and register and put their information and seeing, it's like a screening process that that Boston Children's does with the Leahy systems. So together they sort of like have this system where you could put in and you could either do an anonymous donor, you can donate to any children, it doesn't matter, but you can donate specifically to Layla. So that's an option as well. So with the liver is one of those only organs that regenerates. So you can, an adult can donate a little portion of their liver, like a lobe, and implant it on the child. So the child, then their liver grows into a normal size. And then the adult that donated part of their liver, it regenerates and it goes back within a few weeks. It's crazy, crazy. So I said to myself, if I have to wait for my daughter to be on her literal deathbed to get a deceased donor, I'm not doing that. We're going to go the living donor route. So those are the things that are happening. And I myself, obviously, as a mother, I went through the testing and things like that to get, because I am a B, my blood type is B. But they discourage the parents to doing that because I'm her primary caretaker. So if I'm recovering, I can't help the baby, you know, my baby recover as well. So they discourage, you know, the social workers here are like, yeah, you know, you're the last resort. It puts you in a position where you just feel hopeless and helpless. But through that struggle, there's like a mom that lives in the vineyard who said, sign me up, let me know what's going on. And we are now friends and we communicate back and forth all the time through Instagram because her child was transplanted here at Boston Children. And she's the same blood type B. When she was ready to do be her son's living donor, with the same condition as Layla. And then a deceased donor came around and she didn't need to do it. So her son is transplanted. He's thriving. If you saw this little boy, you would have never imagined that he has a liver transplant because he's doing so good. Like he looks so great. And I'm like, I want this for my baby. Every time I see other families that have gone through this and other children and you see them, like, you would never imagine, like, liver, you know, like, organ transplantation is almost miraculous. Like, it's just incredible what it can do for an individual. And it does give, you know, an individual a second chance at life. It really does. And so right now we're at that juncture where the doctors are, you know, working on now listing her here at Boston's Children. And now the race is on. And the issue with that, again, comes down to these expenses that nobody really thinks about when it comes to having a child with a medical complex, especially a child that's going to get transplanted. Mm-hmm. So my daily life is I drop my toddler off at daycare in the morning or preschool. Then I jump on the highway on 93, come to Boston, spend my day with Layla, and then go back home. And I have either one of my friends or someone pick up the toddler because dad started working a new job, so he really can't leave his job. He works in the city, too. He works in Boston. Mm-hmm. And so now I have to figure out, okay, who's going to pick up my toddler? And then I go home, make dinner, you know, spend some time with the toddler, and then do it all over again every single day. But also, that costs a lot of money for like the parking, the meals aren't here, you know, the out-of-pocket expenses, you know, and all these different things that just add up. And we're doing this on one income. And it's like, my gosh, this is a lot.
Right.
And so that's why, yeah. So,
It's quite a lot. And you still have the rest of your family that you're taking care of.
Absolutely. Well,
there's a lot going on for you guys. And so sorry to hear it, but I'm so impressed with how you and your family and your friends and everybody have banded together. And I know, you know, when you said that you finally said something online on Facebook, I think it was, you said that is, you know, hard to do. You know, a lot of us, you know, are raised old school, we're independent and, you know, focus on our own things. And it's really hard to, you know, reach out and be vulnerable with people and be public with our struggles. But in this case, you know, I feel like you had no choice. That was the absolute thing that you needed to do. Both for Layla and for you and for the whole rest of your family. And so I'm so glad that, you know, the community has already stepped up, but there's a lot more things that I know that are on the horizon. So besides people figuring out, which the link I'll include in the post about this discussion, so the link for, you know, to see if they're a match, and encouraging people, by the way, you know, just because there's a few people who are already on the list, there might be other people that are a better match. So I think the more the merrier with that sort of thing, to sign up to see if you might be able to be a donor. And I understand that you have an event coming up as well, and that's another way that people can help. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so when I was looking for avenues to support us financially with the situation, I came across another mom who also has a child with the same condition, biliary atresia. She gave me a link, a website called CODA, and they're an organization that is Children's Organ Transplant Association. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is like a GoFundMe, but a little bit different. Their mission is to help families that are undergoing transplant, like children going through a transplant, to help raise funds. And so they're a nonprofit. And so they help sort of like with fundraiser, they help with, you know, collecting the funds and being able to then, you know, give it to the parents, however, in however capacity that they may need it. And so that's related to the liver transplant process. And so I like that because I want to make sure that folks understand that this isn't something where, you know, I'm trying to, you know, cash out. This is something that is serious. Through them, they're very strict on how those funds are used. They're only used for transplant related expenses only. So it's usually, like if I come into Boston and, I pay for parking, I have to submit a receipt to get that reimbursed. And so that's how that works. And so it's like a GoFundMe. So folks donate money to that, but then the way that they're able to release the funds has to be specific to the situation. And so part of them doing the fundraiser event is just raise more funds.
People don't realize, you know, even if you can get some of the financial things covered through your insurance, there's just a lot that insurance doesn't cover.
Exactly. And so the fundraiser that we're having is it's going to be at the Lawrence Elks Lodge on November 4th, mm-hmm. From 6 to 11. And those funds and the money that we're raising for this event is to go for her CODA fund. And so our goal is to raise $40,000. We're about like $10,000 right now or so. And so that's our goal, to make sure that we can get through this transplant process. And, you know, and hopefully once, you know, they say the first year of transplant is the hardest. And then after that, hopefully she could be, you know, stronger. Her immunosuppressant drugs are more, you know, we can find a good balance and she could be able to go to daycare. I can go back to work. I mean, that's the vision. That's the goal. And so right now we have a lot of need for the event. A lot of local businesses have donated so many things, food and like, you know, gift certificates and gift cards and things like that. But we really, really need more donations for items. We're looking for donations for baskets and we need ticket sales. So we need folks to come. And we would love to have them. We'll have music. We'll have food. It's going to be, you know, I know that it's a somber situation. It's very, you know, it's very difficult, especially when it relates to a baby, especially the way I obviously my baby. But at the same time, I want folks to know that that I need the energy. I need, you know, because I feed off of that. So I need, you know, everyone to come and smile and mingle, and, you know, and get in, you know, get into the raffles, get into the games that we're going to be playing, and, you know, whatever it is. So at least even my mind for that moment could not really, you know, think about, you know, the dire situation that we're in, and just for a night, for a few hours, you know, have a good time with my community and,
right.
You know, and yeah, and network and just, you know, make awesome friends and relationships that day.
And that's what this is really about. This is a celebration of community coming together, you know, to help one of our own out. And I think that, you know, sometimes people don't know how to be, you know, with this kind of thing. So I love that you said that. What was the date again?
November 4th.
November 4th. Okay. And what was the time?
6 to 11. Yep.
Okay. And it's just, it's unfair. I am so sorry that this is happening to your family, but I'm really inspired by your positivity and your knowledge that you need to be able to lean on other people. And I think people, you know, we want to help, you know, it's human nature. Everybody wants to connect and help people. And so I'm really inspired by you and your family and by Layla. And I hope that everything goes amazing, that we raise all of the money that's needed, and appreciate you and thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share or that you'd like to say?
I would like to share that, you know, as a parent, I know that we do our very best to advocate for our children. But sometimes we just have to, you know, go a little bit harder. I know that sometimes we don't want to make our medical providers feel bad, and we don't want to assume that we know more than the doctors. But sometimes a mother's intuition or parent's intuition is a lot stronger than their medical degrees. And so sometimes when they dismiss us for whatever concerns that we have, we just have to keep pushing, because they don't have a voice. We are their voice. And so if you think that something is wrong with your child and your gut is telling you something is wrong, if one particular provider isn't listening,
right,
go somewhere else, get a second opinion, always get a second opinion, get a third opinion, get a fourth opinion. Because at the end of the day, there are things that can be missed. You know, doctors and medical providers, they're people as well. And so sometimes, it could be a bad day. It could be whatever the case may be. And they might just not listen that day, or not listen to understand, right? So we do have a page for Layla. It's Layla's Battle with Biliary Atresia on Facebook. They could follow her and you know, check out. I try to post every day, videos and things like that. Also on Instagram, Layla Sign 21. Is also on there as well. I try to just keep up and let folks see, you know, the transition. And I hope that one day we can look back and be like, look at where we were and look at where we are now, you know? So thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share my story.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you again for having me. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you guys for listening to Methuen Matters. This is your host, Jessica Finicaro. Before you go, show us some love by giving us a like or review on our Facebook page or on any of our podcast platforms that you're listening to right now, or share with a friend. Stay tuned for the next episode. Don't forget to send us any tips. And until next time, this is Jessica Finicaro signing off. Have a wonderful day, Methuen. And remember, Methuen Matters. Thank you.